and welcome to the Atlanta Opera Podcast. My name is Emma Grimsley. I'm the assistant director for the Atlanta Opera's June 2025 production of Handel's Semele, and I'm so excited to share with you five things you need to know about this gem of Baroque musical drama. Number one, G.F. Handel. The music for Semele was composed by the one and only George Frideric Handel. And if you think you've never heard anything by Handel, you definitely have. Handel is the mind behind the undeniably recognizable Hallelujah Chorus, that particularly famous musical moment as part of Handel's most performed masterpiece, The Messiah. Handel composed during the Baroque period. He didn't come from nobility, but as a little boy, a wealthy duke took an interest in his precocious musical talents and thus began Handel's prolific and historic career as a composer of operas, oratorios, concerti, and beyond. Handel was born in the late 1600s. During his early years living in the Holy Roman Empire, Handel was steeped in sacred music and the art of composing for organ and choir. He then spent his early 20s in Italy, mastering all things Italian opera. Then, in 1712, he settled for good in England, living there until he died nearly 50 years later. He'd left such a massive mark on the musical and theatrical landscape of the time that thousands of mourners attended his funeral. Even though Handel was born in Germany and spent time in Italy, England really was his home. The house where he lived and died still stands in London. Many of his most famous works, Semele included, are 100% in English. Number two, mythology. If you've ever dabbled in Greek mythology, a lot of the characters in Semele will look familiar to you. Semele is an adaptation of a Greek myth as told by the famous ancient Roman poet Ovid. So, a lot of the Greek gods you know and love are referred to in Semele by their Roman names. Zeus, for instance, the Mount Olympus-dwelling, thunderbolt-wielding, philandering king of the gods, goes by Jupiter in Semele. His wife Hera is called Juno. Dionysus, god of wine and merriment, is referred to as Bacchus. And Apollo, god of the sun and of poetry and prophecy, for some reason he's still Apollo. His name stays the same. So many of the hallmarks of ancient myth are present in Semele. Shape-shifting, disguises, passion, magic, plots, oaths, irreversible mistakes, and the tragically complicated divide between mortals and the capricious and fallible gods that govern them. Number three, oratorio. Semele is not actually an opera. It's an oratorio. What's an oratorio, you ask? Well, we've already mentioned probably the most famous one. Handel's Messiah. An oratorio is a piece of music that tells a story. It has characters and drama and a narrative arc just like an opera, but unlike an opera, it's intended to be performed in a concert setting. It doesn't call for any of the typical theatrical conventions like scenery or costumes. Semele is an oratorio, but it's what's known as a secular oratorio, meaning its text is not based on religious material. Since an oratorio, by definition, deals with biblical stories or the lives of saints, the whole idea of a non-religious oratorio was still pretty out there when Semele was written, and its borderline steamy themes of infidelity, jealousy, and passionate love caused quite a stir during the 1744 Lenten season when it premiered. Nowadays, it is common for creative companies like the Atlanta Opera to take story-rich oratorios like Semele and outfit them with all of the traditional operatic storytelling tools at our disposal, like sets and costumes and props. And in the case of our production, some pretty spectacular visual media elements as well. Number four, Ovid. As I mentioned, the story of Semele comes to our stage by way of Ovid, famed poet of ancient Rome, who was born in 43 BCE and, for any classics fans out there, was writing at the same time as Horace and Virgil. The story that became the text for Handel's Semele was adapted by librettist William Congreve and is found in Ovid's masterwork and most famous text, The Metamorphoses. Semele's story appears in Book 3 of Ovid's Metamorphoses. And, as Congreve adapted it for his libretto, it tells the story of Semele, princess of Thebes, her ill-fated wedding, her passionate love affair with Jupiter, and her tragic run-in with Jupiter's rightfully jealous wife, Juno. And no spoilers, but the plot of Semele also leaves us with the origin story of the god of good times, Bacchus himself. Number 5, da capo aria form. An important hallmark of Baroque vocal music is something called the da capo aria, and there are plenty of spectacular examples in Semele. If I were to clumsily translate the Italian, da capo means to the head. And the typical da capo aria is made up of three distinct sections, A, B, and A prime. We start off with the A section, in which the primary melody and text of the aria are established. Then comes the B section, where new text is introduced, set to a melodic idea that contrasts with the first melody in the A section. Then, the A prime section. We return to the head, da capo, and in the A prime section, we go back to the very beginning and do the A section again, but this time, the singer adds all sorts of creative, impressive, and usually very fast-moving ornamentation to the melody. Ornamentation is to Baroque music what riffing is to pop music. And back in Handel's day, people flocked to the opera house to hear what daring and impressive ornaments the performers would add to the A prime sections of each aria. Now you've got 5 key pieces to understanding and enjoying Handel's Semele. We are so excited to share this mythically romantic story, this glorious music, and this breathtaking production with Atlanta's opera audiences. If you enjoyed learning about Semele, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way for more people like you to find out about our content. And don't forget to follow the Atlanta Opera Podcast for more great episodes. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the theater.